بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are explaining the chapters about dealings and transactions as per the book of Al-Ghaya wa Taqrib, authored by one of the prominent scholars in the school of Imam al-Shafi'i radiyallahu anhu, known as Al-Qadi Abu Shuja'. In our lesson, we'll be talking about some other chapters pertaining to that field. The first is about Al-Shuf'a, which is in English preemption. Al-Qadi Abu Shuja' said what means the right of preemption is established when there is indiscriminate partnership, not in neighboring properties, in things that retain their original utility when divided, not otherwise, in everything that is not transportable, such as real estate and other things associated with it, and for the agreed upon sale price. Preemption must be declared immediately. It is void when delayed while one is able to preempt. If one marries a woman and makes the dowry his share of the land, then the co-owner preserves the right to preempt the share from her for the dowry of what a woman of her status usually receives. If preemption is opted by a group, then their entitlement would be relative to their respective shares. So this chapter deals with a contract known as a shuf'a, which is the acquisition of the share of the new partner for whatever price the old partner took for that share. So in other words, they say the liability for the partner for the acquisition of the portion sold to a third party person outside that original partnership. Such a contract is legitimated in our religion to alleviate the harm that might impose the old partner. We'll explain this very soon. The proof for such a contract is deduced from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrated by Al-Bukhari, قضى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالشفعة في كل ما لم يقسم، فإذا وقعت الحدود وصرفت الطرق فلا شفعة. In another narration, في أرض أو ربع أو حائط. So from this hadith, we know that a shuf'a preemption is permissible in our religion. Why we say permissible? Because it's not a binding contract that one has to do it. Rather, it is an option for the old partner. When his other partner sells his portion of the land, for instance, to a third party. In such a case, that person can take, meaning can buy it back from the new partner for whatever price he bought it for. And from the hadith, we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam legitimized the right of a shuf'a in whatever cannot be divided, meaning when divided, the original utility and use will not be retained. For instance, you know how in the past they used to have a place where people would go and have shower in that place. So it's like big place, people would go to it to have shower in that place, to shower in it. If it's a small one and that's the original utility for it, why it is built, for what reason, for what use, so people can go and shower in it. If it's very small, that when divided, the old partner will be in need of building his own utilities or amenities for his section. So for that reason, there is a harm imposed on the old partner. If two are partners in such a place, and one of them sells his portion to a third party, then if this is not legitimized, then that person might say, I want my portion of this place, so we need to divide it. Now, if they want to divide it, the amenities will be in one section and they will be distributed. So the other one will be in need to build his own amenities in order to facilitate for this place to cater for what it is built for. For that reason, to alleviate such a harm, in our religion, this old partner has the right of preemption. What does it mean he has the right for preemption? It means he can come to thee, the buyer, the one who bought the portion of his partner, and say to him, I want this share from you, through a shuf'a. This is called a shuf'a. A shuf'a means to combine that share to his share. So he can buy it. He can buy acquisition of his share, his portion, and he can pay him whatever, and that's one of the conditions we're going to talk about, for the price it is sold for. So even if that new partner says, I don't want to sell it, it's not up to him. The old partner has the right to preempt, meaning to acquire this share by purchasing this share from the buyer for whatever price he paid for it. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that, or judged with a shuf'a, with whatever cannot be divided, meaning when divided, the main purpose will be void. The main purpose for what it is built for will be void. And the old partner will be in need to build his own amenities for it. In that case, a shuf'a can be opted in that case. Then the Prophet explained, if they mark the boundaries between them and they set each one's portion from the road as well, then there is no shuf'a. In another narration, shuf'a can be established in a land, in a property, and in a garden. So if two people own a garden by proportion, meaning one has 40%, the other one has 60%. One has 50%, the other has 50%. It's not marked, because if it is marked, it's like you have two adjacent lands. When you have two adjacent lands, that's the neighboring property he's talking about, there is no shuf'a in neighboring lands. In the adjacent lands, there is no shuf'a. According to Imam Shafi'i radiallahu anhu, the right of shuf'a preemption is not established in neighboring properties. But according to Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, it is established in neighboring properties. So if you have a land, see how you have the fence? The fence marks the borders of your land and the land of your neighbor. So that means your land is bordered. So if your neighbor were to sell his land, you don't have here the right of preemption where you can force the buyer to sell it to you for whatever price he purchased it for. You don't have this right, because this is classified as adjacent land. Here we are talking about the same land, real estate, owned by two, for instance, by proportion, meaning one owns 50% of the other 50. So it could be 50-50. Could be one owns 60% or 75 and the other owns the rest. So it's by proportion, and it's not marked which portion belongs to which owner. They are co-owners of the land. Co-owners of the land, they all own this land by proportion. Then if one of those co-owners sells his portion, his share of the land, to another person, third party, then this person, the old partner, has the right to opt to preempt, meaning to acquire this land, take it for himself through the right of a shuf'a from the new partner. Then Al-Qadi Abu Shuja' mentioned that it is in everything that is not transportable. We understand from this, if it's a real estate owned by two or more by proportion, then the right of a shuf'a can be established. The real estate is not transportable. And whatever is associated with it, like the trees and the buildings, that are in that land. So if two, for instance, own the land, it has buildings in it and trees, one of them sold his portion to a third party, then the other partner, the old partner, can impose the right of a shuf'a, meaning to acquire the portion of the new partner for whatever price he purchased that share for. Is that clear up to here? And we mentioned why. Why? Because the amenities will be divided. So one will have to build, or the old partner will need to build his own amenities for that property. So he will be paying some costs. So there is a kind of harm that he was imposed with. For that reason, he has the right to establish a shuf'a, meaning to ask for this share to be purchased by him for whatever price this new partner paid for it. So the trees follow the land, the buildings follow the land, but not in something that is transportable. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the right of a shuf'a is established in a land, in a property, and in a garden, because those are not transportable. For instance, a car is transportable. So if two, let us say, wanted to do business, so they mixed money together, 50-50, and they purchased a car, so they may sell it later on and make a profit. Then one of them wanted to change his mind. Doesn't want to go through this anymore. So he wanted to sell his portion. Now who is the most deserving of that portion? His partner. But without informing his partner, he sold it to a third party. When his partner knows about it, he can request to acquire the share purchased by that new partner for the price he purchased it for. In cars, because they are transportable, the right of a shuf'a is not established in this manner. So only in land. So in car, because it is transportable, so it can be sold easily. So he is not entitled for the right of a shuf'a when he is a partner in a car or a horse and the like. So here, for instance, the other partner sold his portion of this car to a third party. The old partner cannot say, I want to buy this share from you for whatever price you bought it for. He can't do that. Why? Because the car is transportable. Because originally we mentioned, for whatever is not transportable. A car, a horse, a ship, that's transportable. So one wouldn't have the right of preemption in such a matter. Then he said, for the agreed upon sale price. And preemption must be declared immediately. When he can opt to preempt, meaning to acquire the shares sold to a third party, immediately after knowing about it, without any delay. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the right of a shuf'a is established for the one who immediately requests it, not to delay. And the scholars gave examples. It's similar to the case of finding a defect in a product that you purchased. When you find a defect in a product, Islamically, you can return it to the seller and say to him, look, I found a defect in it, I don't want it. and you take your money back. You can't do this. But you need to do it immediately, without any delay, that will be classified as shortage from your side. Meaning, you found a defect in the car, you purchased a car, you found a defect in it, and you chose to go for a holiday. Then when you come back after 1 week, you go to the seller and say, look, I found a defect in it, I want to return. So when did you find about the defect in it? 1 week ago. So now you are not entitled for returning it. Same case here. Once a person knows about his partner selling his share to a third party, he can request preemption, meaning to obtain that land or that share of the land from the new partner for whatever price he paid for it. But it has to be immediately, without any delay. Now the scholars gave examples such as if one is extremely sick at the time he knew about it, so he can wait until he finds himself able to go and request it. If it was late at night and it was risky for him to go to him at night, he can delay it till the morning. If it's the time for the prayer, he can pray, then go to him. Such a delay is pardoned. But if he has no reason and he delays from the morning till the evening for no reason, he loses his right of preemption. Remember, it is the same as returning the product that is defective. And that's something very important. When you buy something, you find a defect in it. If you opt to return it, then you need to do that immediately. You don't delay. Then he said, if one marries a woman, now listen to this, there is a difference here. If one marries a woman and makes the dowry his share of the land, then the co-owner preserves the right to preempt the share from her for the dowry of what a woman of her status usually receives. This is for a reason. If one marries a lady and they do not nominate the dowry, mahar, marriage payment, then later on he would copulate the marriage. He would have intercourse with her. Then she would say to him, you haven't assigned the dowry, the marriage payment for me. He might say, yeah, in my mind I wanted to give you $50. She might say, in my mind I thought 50 millions. So now they have dispute. How can it be evaluated what marriage payment or dowry he needs to pay? It is the dowry of the woman of her status, meaning people in the same class of this lady. How much they get usually, that will be her marriage payment. And here when the judge is about to estimate the dowry and the marriage payment, he looks at many factors. He looks at her age, at her beauty, and other things. So he takes into consideration all these factors, then he can come up with an estimate and say, look, the dowry for such a lady is such and such. That's what we call mahr al-mithl. Mahr al-mithl, the dowry of the woman of her status usually receive. So when she gives herself to him, she's entitled to that amount of dowry and marriage payment. So a lady married a person and they assigned the dowry to be his portion of the land. If he owns 50% of the land, he says, I'll marry you on the dowry, so for a dowry, which is my portion of this land, which is 50% of it, for instance. Then the old partner can request, if he wants to acquire that portion of the land for himself from that lady, because the mahar, the marriage payment, is hers. So he's going to take it from her. He can request it of her, but for what? They say for what is equivalent of the dowry of the woman of her status. Even if it is more than the value of the portion of her husband owns of that land. So if he owns 10%, let us say, and the dowry for woman of her status is way more than the 10% of the land, if the old partner wants to acquire this land, that portion to him, then he can do so, but he needs to pay her the mahr al-mithl, the dowry or the marriage payment of the woman of her status. Then he said, if preemption is opted by a group, because that might be the case, then their entitlement would be relative to their respective shares. Meaning, there were three partners who own a land. One owns 50%, half of it. One owns half, one owns one third, and one owns one sixth of the land. The one who owns one half sold it to another person. Now these two can request to buy that share from the new partner. If both of them want that portion, then it will be sold back to them based on their shares, not on the number of heads. Because this one owns one third, so he will take two thirds. And that one who owns one sixth, he will take one third of this half. So not 50-50. I'll repeat. Three owns a land. One owns half of it. One owns one third of it. One owns one sixth of it. The one who owns one half of it sold it to a third party. These two opted to preempt, meaning they want to acquire this land or this portion of land from that new partner. Both of them wants this. If that's the case, it will be sold. This half will be sold back to them, but not quarter-quarter. No, we look at the proportion of ownership of each one of them. Now, one third and one sixth, that means this one takes double that one. So we'll divide the half into three thirds. The one who owns one third will take two, and the one who owns one sixth will take one third of that half. This is how they divide it. It's not by the number of the heads of the partners, not in that case. Sometimes a person might opt to obtain that portion and the other doesn't want to. It's not compulsory. He doesn't have to do it. But it is an option for the old partner to alleviate any harm that might be imposed on him. That's the reason why it is legitimated in our religion. So he can opt to take this portion of the land. So he won't be in need of building his own amenities because it's going to be divided. He doesn't want this. it would be easier for him to purchase that portion. And that's optional. It's not an obligation. It is not compulsory. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our knowledge and benefit us with the knowledge we have acquired. Ameen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We say la ilaha illallah and make salah on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.